The scripture this morning is taken from Isaiah 49, the first seven verses, page 679 in your pew Bible. Listen to me, O coastlands. Pay attention, you peoples from far away. The Lord called me before I was born. While I was in my mother's womb, he named me. He made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me a polished arrow in his quiver. He hid me away. And he said to me, "You are my servant Israel, in whom I will be glorified." But I said, "I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and vanity. Yet surely my cause is with the Lord, and my reward with my God." And now the Lord says, who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him, and that Israel might be gathered to him, "For I am honored in the sight of the Lord, and my God has become my strength." He says, "It is too light a thing that you should be my servant, to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth." The Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One. To one deeply despised, abhorred by the nations, the slave of rulers, kings shall see and stand up, princes, and they shall prostrate themselves because of the Lord, who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I need to add an additional scripture reading, one from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, the first salutation part of that letter, verses 1 through 9. Paul, called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God and by our brother Sosthenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, together with all those who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that has been given you in Christ Jesus. For in every way you have been enriched in him, in speech and knowledge of every kind, just as the testimony of Christ has been strengthened among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will also strengthen you to the end, so that you may be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. By him you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Isaiah says, it is too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the survivors of Israel. That's too limited, too small. I will give you as a light to the nations, inclusive of all, that is, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. Got me to thinking about those times, years past, as our children were beginning to come into our family, first Carl and then Mary. Who among us, now some of you still have those kids in your households out there, but some of us have transitioned into a new phase of our life. that empty nester phase. But here's my question for you today. Who among us, having raised our children, ever thought of the true magnitude of the responsibility that we took on as our families began to take shape? I know that Terry and I never did. Oh, we had conversations about what it would be like once our children began to come, what it would be like to bring children into that relationship that we enjoyed as a couple without children for 6 years before our kids were born. But our focus was upon the impact that children would have upon our daily routine. And as I see couples with young children, that's where my humor is targeted. Remembering how, as a childless couple, how easy it was to pick up and go somewhere. And once you have kids, you have to hire a moving van to go down the street to buy bread. How difficult that is. Little did we realize that the question of our daily routine was, in fact, the least of our worries. The task of raising children in the context of modern life is far more difficult, far more demanding than we ever imagined. So that is why Terry and I are enjoying our transition into our empty nest years. Oh, we still miss our children and we love them dearly, but there is a part of me that is a little pleased with this particular moment in our married life. We still love our children, we always will, but it is fair to say that on that blissful day in 1979, when Carl entered our lives, we had no real idea what we had gotten ourselves into. Nor did we know much more 4 years later when Mary was born. Well, we might have taken a hint from the circumstances that surrounded Carl's birth. The first clue was attending the Lamaze class and discovering that at 30 years of age, Terry and I were both older than anyone else in the class, having their first child. And Terry was especially uncomfortable encountering one young woman in the class who had been a student in Terry's class at Bryant Junior High School in Livonia 7 years earlier. I will never forget how she greeted us the first night of class. "Mrs. Gladstone! What are you doing here?" The fact is that neither Terry nor I had any appreciation for what was about to come upon us. We were thrilled with the thought of having a child, but it never occurred to us in that moment that this baby would now be our direct responsibility for the next 20 plus years. On a smaller scale, a similar thing happens in seminary. I remember encountering this. For example, no one ever teaches you in seminary that Sunday comes every 7 days. Now I'm nearing the age of 62. And I finally learned that the really good things in life, the things that matter, and the things that are most of God in life, always, without fail, demand more of us than we thought at the beginning. This is not a modern learning. Isaiah encountered the same learning 2,700 years ago in the scripture that we have encountered this morning. After calling Isaiah to be a servant, the Lord declares, putting it in my own words, I did not call you just to enlighten the tribes of Israel. That would be too light a thing. Instead, the voice of God says to Isaiah, I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Isaiah might have responded, I didn't bargain for that. I'm not sure I'm up to the task. Well, I'm not sure what Isaiah thought the Lord was trying to say, but to my heart, Yahweh was trying to remind Isaiah, and therefore the people of Israel, that they did not have exclusive claim to the purposes of God. I think that this voice of God was telling Isaiah that the call he has received is far more important, far deeper, and farther reaching than he might ever have imagined. And that same message was one he needed to give to the whole people of Israel. While Israel was thinking that they alone had a special claim on God's attention, God was busy trying to help them understand that God's work in the world will not be confined to only one particular people. I've called you, he said, to be a light to all the nations. To think otherwise would be too light a thing. Well, perhaps we need to hear this explanation to Isaiah in our own time. There is a kind of modern Christianity that wants to think that God's message of love and redemption and forgiveness is just for the select few. Sometimes we feel called, but we hope that the call is limited, and that we are called to serve those with whom we feel comfortable, or those we understand well. If that is our thinking, we have made God's claim upon our hearts too light a thing. The Apostle Paul may well have had this passage from Isaiah in mind as he took the gospel of Jesus the Christ out from Palestine and into the wider Gentile world. You can hear it in that salutation to the new Christians in the Greek city of Corinth. That's why I chose to read that additional passage to you. He speaks to them with love and affection, even though many of them coming to the gospel are not Jewish. If you've been in a Bible study with me along the way, you know that that was a major controversy in the first century of the Christian church. Paul knew that it was too light a thing to confine the gospel of Jesus Christ to just Galilee or just Judah or just Jerusalem. Like Isaiah, he regarded his call as bigger than the assumed boundaries of tribe and religious heritage. Lest we be too harsh on the community of the first century Jews, Paul had the same message for the new Christian community around Corinth. And in that community, there were those who claimed a spiritual superiority for themselves and felt that they alone deserved God's love and attention. And Paul was there to say to them, that's not enough. It's too small. God is not just for you. And the gospel is not just your hope. So I offer these thoughts on that day each year when we honor the memory and the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. In thinking of Dr. King, it is tempting to think of his impact upon history as being limited to the integration of African Americans into more the mainstream of American life, and perhaps the knocking down of racial barriers. All of those things are real, of course, and true. But they do not represent the depth of his message, nor the fullness of his impact upon us. They are too light a thing. Dr. King did not just live for the sake of integration. He lived as a light to this nation, and he called all of us to examine our hearts in order that America might at last live up to and fulfill the high ideals upon which it was founded. It was not an easy message for us to hear. Some of us are having trouble with it yet. My sisters and brothers, the saving message of Jesus the Christ is not just a private comfort for each of us. That would be too light a thing. We have been called to live like Christ in order that the world might be changed. I hear the echoes of Dave Ramsey in my brain because we're running that class. And again, when he says, to live like no one else in order that later you might live like no one else. It's another way of saying the same thing. We have been called to take that assignment, like I spoke to you last week, and to spread it, and to live it, and to keep it up, to pass it on to the generations who will follow after us, in order that kings and rulers might notice, until finally the world begins to approach being the place of justice and peace that God intended. It is to this we are called. God has chosen us to think otherwise would be too light a thing. Thanks be to God.